You guys work so hard on your discipline, on being attention to detail. This whole camp, everybody put so much heart and soul into this, and you guys, you know, just to come out and have all three phases of the game really make so many mistakes. I mean, was it almost shocking, disheartening? How can you put it into words?
No, I would say just the momentum of, you know, that's, you know, where the good teams, they don't let one mistake turn into a bunch. They don't let it kind of go throughout the whole team. They can nip it in the bud and move forward, you know, fix their mistakes. So we can do that. We know that. We've practiced on doing those things. So we just have to be better next time. There's no way around it. No excuses. We just have to be better.
Baker and the Browns clearly have some work to do, losing by 32 points to the Ravens. Baker's 4.6 QBR on third down yesterday was the third worst in the NFL. Browns still have the longest current streak of opening day losses in NFL history. Super Bowl champ Brian Clark joins the debate. RC, top of the morning to you. Or actually, it's more like afternoon. Whatever.
Good to see you guys.
Stephen A., should we be crushing Baker today? I mean, do you think that's fair week one?
Well, it might not be fair to most people, but it's definitely fair to him. And you're not crushing him, you're crushing his performance. And that's what people have to understand. It's not like you're performing in a closet in the privacy of your own home and nobody's watching you. People are not only watching you, they're paying to watch you. And for you to go out there and to talk as much as he has talked in the past and to perform as impotently as he has performed, it is a problem. Yesterday, what are the numbers here? 21 for 39, 189 yards, a quarterback rate, a QBR of 33. These are god-awful numbers. It is absolutely disgusting. Or the more appropriate word would be it's offensive. As an offensive talent, for him at the quarterback position to be producing to the fashion that he has. Keep in mind that this is a guy that is a former number one overall pick, and he's going up against a guy that was the last pick in the first round of the NFL draft. And look at the difference between the two, Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield, not just in terms of skill set, but also development, how much you have improved. And once again, Ryan Clark, I brought this up, and Max Kellerman, I brought this up. Y'all will remember this. How many times have I said last year that Baker Mayfield has more commercials than wins? How many times did I say that? I said that week after week after week.
Because Stephen A., he has more commercials than QBR points right now.
But that's right. But are you ready for this? What do we see yesterday? Hulu has live sports. And who do we see? Baker Mayfield. And so the point is that once again, we see the advertisements, we see the endorsement dollars, and you know what? His bravado and his talk and his chitter-chattering, yeah, that gets him money and it gets him endorsement. It produces everything but wins. And if I'm Odell Beckham Jr., if I'm Jarvis Landry and these boys, at some point in time, I'm looking in the mirror and I'm going like this. I don't believe there's any slippage in my skills. So why is it that we can't seem to do anything? It's Hugh Jackson one minute. It's Freddie Kitchens another. Now it's Kevin Stefanski. But the common denominator is Baker Mayfield. At some point in time, and I'm not giving up on them. I'm not calling them a scrub or anything like that. I'm simply saying, my brother, the production that you are putting forth doesn't match the hype that precedes it. The hype considerably outweighs your level of production. And at some point in time, this season, we're going to sit up here and say, this is it for Kevin, for Baker Mayfield. If he doesn't do anything this year, Cleveland might need to move in a different direction.
Look, I think here's the danger for Baker, okay? And I said this last year. At a certain point, if you're on a team of ballers on offense, they got a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. If those guys, if dudes like Odell start to look at you and go, he's not a baller, now you're in trouble. And I think they started to think that last year. Coming out of college, I thought Baker was going to be great. You know, like, sometimes you're right. I thought Sam Bradford was going to be great. Sorry, sometimes you're wrong. I thought I was wrong. He wasn't great. Sometimes you're right. I thought Deshaun Watson would be. I think he's fantastic. Baker, so far, I was wrong about. I thought he, and I think the reason is He's like a guy at that size. You look at Russell Wilson, you look at Drew Brees, and they both had a tremendous success. They're all-time greats. Russell Wilson not only is very smart, and even if that ball isn't always pretty coming out of his hands, it's effective. He also runs, what, a 4.5, something like that, 40? Baker Mayfield runs a 4.8 plus 40. He's not fast like Russell Wilson. He's not going to outrun the defense. Drew Brees is the most accurate passer of all time. I've seen the video where he's more accurate than an Olympic marksman, like with the bow and arrow. He's more accurate than an archer. Right? Much more, by the way. That's not Baker Mayfield was accurate in college. He's not Drew Brees accurate. So when you don't have a skill like that that jumps out at you as Russell Wilson and Drew Brees do, and even they have to play smart, right? He has to strike the right balance. He's not Russell Wilson. He's not Drew Brees. He has to strike the right balance of brains and guts, and he's been unable to do it. Now, he has the reason I won't kill him today is he has a legitimate excuse, which is, it's a whole new turnover on the coaching staff, not for the first time in his young career. And they haven't had a preseason. And they're playing the best team in the division, by far, a team that was among the Super Bowl favorites last year before the playoffs started. And, you know, and one of the best players in football under center, or at least playing quarterback, for the other team in a great organization with a defense and everything, right? So I'm not going to hold too much against him about yesterday. But Baker Mayfield, in terms of his career with the Browns, I think is on thin ice. And since he's not Russell Wilson and he's not Drew Brees, he better figure out who Baker Mayfield is quick, fast, and in a hurry.
You know what? You both of you guys are wrong. It is, we should not be crushing Baker Mayfield this morning. You know why? Because Baker Mayfield isn't that talented. So, in turn, it is our fault, not his fault. It's my fault that I thought he should have went number one overall. It's my fault that I expected him to be a superstar, that I expected him to be a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback, because when you look at it, he's not that talented. Now, what you were right about, Max, is he's not Russell Wilson. Even though they're the same height, he doesn't actually have that type of arm strength. He doesn't have that type of improvisation skills. He doesn't have that type of create a second play with my legs and push the ball down the field. He doesn't have that type of talent. We thought he was Drew Brees excellent. We thought he was Drew Brees accurate. We were wrong, because everybody that plays for Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma is that accurate, because they're throwing to better players than the other team. They're throwing to wide open people have been schemed open by Lincoln Riley, who seems to be able to take any quarterback, and now he recruits great ones, seems to be able to take any quarterback and make sure that they are productive. So we were wrong. When Odell Beckham Jr. is running an inside route or a square in and the ball's thrown behind him, even though he has Marcus Peters beat, that's on Baker Mayfield. When Odell Beckham Jr. gets deep behind Marcus Peters late in the game, has two steps on him, and we're just throwing a regular go ball, that's on Baker Mayfield. When you look early on in the game and two or three of his passes are tipped on the first series, that's the height of Baker Mayfield. That's the release point of Baker Mayfield. One of those passes are intercepted by Marlon Humphrey. So we can't crush him anymore. From now on, we need to look at Baker Mayfield in a different way. See, what we were looking at him as was the Heisman Trophy winner and the first overall pick. Let's stop that. Let's look at him as the guy who had to walk on to two different teams in college. The guy who wasn't good enough to play at Texas Tech, so he went to Oklahoma as a walk-on and earned his way. Maybe if we start seeing him there, if we start seeing him from the bottom level of his talent, we can now appreciate the things that he did well. We can appreciate the times that he did excel, the times that he was successful, because we have to now realize that he's not that talented. And that's okay.
But you just crushed him worse than you just crushed him in the worst way. You just crushed him in the worst kind of way, RC, because I don't hear any malice in you.
Guys.
But that's truthful and it makes sense, Stephen A. And that's the worst kind of crushing, to say we can't look at him like the number one pick anymore.
Well, let me say this, guys. A couple of things that need to be mentioned here. First of all, let's not forget Kevin Stefanski, because I'm going to say this. I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. Who the hell is he? I mean, the fact of the matter is that when he was in Minnesota last year, if I remember correctly, Ryan Clark, didn't they have the 23rd ranked passing attack? I mean, if I remember correctly, I think that was about right. And last time we checked, when they were going against the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC divisional playoff games, they finished the game with a grand total of 7 first downs. 7 first downs for the entire game, all right? And Kirk Cousins didn't throw for even 200 yards. So we got to look at it from that perspective. And last but not least, already there's stories in Cleveland about how Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. have to get on the same page. Even the head coach is admitting they're not on the same page. How, after all of last year and this offseason, with all the bantering and chitter-chatter going on, how you are not on the same page with your number one wide receiver? It's not like you're not on the same page as quarterback. Not like you're, or your running back or the secondary wide receiver or your tight end, or you're not in sync with what your offensive line wants you to do in terms of getting rid of the football quickly enough. This is your number one receiver who you targeted 10 times. Yeah. And connected with on 3 occasions for 22 Stefanski yards. How about that?
Says Odell has more bounce than any player he's ever been around.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
I'm just so blessed to have this opportunity, man, to, number one, be affiliated with an organization. You know, knowing that in itself is a blessing, to get a win, and that's another added plus. But, you know, yet through it all, this has been a strenuous, long process for me. And yet through it all, you know, it's just been gratifying. And I just had such a sense of gratitude, you know, to the New England Patriots and to this team, just to give all that I could possibly give and hell or high water, finish today at this particular time with us, you know, having going home with a win.
Cam Newton, suited and booted, reminded people why he was a league MVP, leading his new team to a 21-11 win against the Dolphins yesterday. Cam running the rock himself into the end zone twice. RC is back. Stephen A., here's the real question folks at home want to know. Can they win a Super Bowl if they continue to play this type of football?
Hell no. I don't believe it. Let me be very, very clear about that, because Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs and Lamar Jackson for the Baltimore Ravens will be standing in their way. And it's going to take more than you throwing for 155 yards or running for 75 yards in order to beat them. That's the obvious answer. Here's where it gets a bit more complicated. I don't blame Cam for playing the way that he played, and I don't blame Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels for letting him, because after what he has had to endure injury-wise, if Superman wants to show that he still has that Superman capability from an athletic perspective inside of himself, that's good for his confidence. That'll free him up mentally and emotionally to go out there and do some of the more conventional things that it takes to be a successful quarterback in the National Football League. So I understand the approach. I understand the thinking. Just because you did it in week one doesn't mean you're going to be doing it weeks 1 through 16 or 17. That's not necessarily the case. What it does mean is that you're reminding people of the arsenal that you have available to you, thereby encouraging them to be honest enough to defend against you. That means stacking the box a little bit. That may be spying. That may be not dropping in coverage to the degree that you
you normally would if you had an immobile quarterback that was a stationary target and you really didn't have to worry about them running on you. If you're Cam Newton, part of your success is going to be predicated on being that dual threat. And Lamar Jackson and others have shown the capability of doing that. We don't give Russell Wilson enough credit for him doing that. We don't even give Aaron Rodgers enough credit for his ability to extend plays and do it that way, not just his exceptional ability to throw the football. Being able to keep defenses honest by allowing them to be reminded of the fact that you can run with the football is imperative. So I don't blame the New England Patriots and specifically Cam Newton for doing it yesterday. I'm just simply saying if you look at that style of play and if you're planning on doing that all year long and you think that's what's going to win you a Super Bowl, there's no way in hell that that's going to happen with this particular team. They need additional weapons at the wideout position, which they don't have at this particular moment in time. And that's why I say it wouldn't win you a Super Bowl.
All right, but you know what he just did yesterday is – took a team.
You dropped your mic, Max.
Just like Brady didn't have
you dropped
weapons.
Your mic.
No. Mm-hmm.
You dropped your mic.
Go ahead,
Mike. Someplace.
Right, go ahead.
Yeah,
go
no,
ahead.
Listen. I'm with Stephen A. I'm not going to give him a hell no, but it's nah. Because when you look at the way this team played, they couldn't win a Super Bowl last year. And they can't win a Super Bowl this year because they don't have the requisite skill players. They don't have the people on the outside that can make plays. When you look at this team, the opportunities that they had were all Julian Edelman. And that was created by the RPO game because Cam was running the football. Also, look at who became their main runner. On third downs, it was Cam Newton's. In the red zone, it was Cam Newton. This is the only way that this offense could move the ball. And I said this very early on in the offseason while Cam Newton was still available, that he was the perfect quarterback for this team because they weren't going to win playing conventional football. Or as Stephen A. was able to say it, playing football in a way that we're used to seeing from the quarterback position. The only way for this team to move the ball is to use Cam Newton in multiple ways, is to make sure that Cam Newton is the focal point of this offense from a defensive coordinator standpoint, where Stephen A. says you do have to spy, you do have to stack the box, because the only way to win outside with these guys is to have one-on-one coverage. And even then, it was all about Julian Edelman. They finally get N'Keal Harry involved. What does he do? He fumbles the ball on the one-yard line. They can't. Josh McDaniels has to be more creative in the pass game. Cam Newton does want to show that he's Superman. The good thing about that, Stephen A., that showed me, though, is he feels like he's healthy. He was not protecting himself. He was willing to run. He was willing to take the pounding. He was willing to take the hits. But Cam Newton has to find a way to stay safe while running the football, because this team can't win without him doing that. And Josh McDaniels can't find a way to scheme people open. But this team won't win the AFC East, will not advance to the playoffs if they continue to play this way, because this defense is not the same as it was in 2019.
I think they will win the AFC East, and I apologize for the mic drop. I'm just so used to it, I forget sometimes. I have to wait till after I talk to drop the mic.
Oh,
so let me just say this.
I knew that was coming.
It's a bigger question. It's a bigger question than those X's and O's to me, guys. It's a bigger question. Like, do I like them over Patrick Mahomes? No. I like Mahomes and the Chiefs over everyone right now. I'm saying, is it possible for this team like this with this Cam Newton to win a championship? The answer is yes, it is. Cam Newton right now, this season, could wind up to be the best version of himself ever. Let's not forget, as a passer with Norv Turner, he was better than he'd ever been, including in his MVP year, where he was voted by his peers in the middle of Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Drew Brees' prime. Voted by his peers, the number one player in the game, best player in football, and got to a Super Bowl. You know, when Kubiak's a good coach, he ain't Bill Belichick. Got to John Elway and Kubiak combined do not equal Belichick and Belichick as GM and head coach. Got to a Super Bowl where I criticized him for not jumping on that ball, right? Like, jump on the ball, Cam, though. Like, now is the time. It's still a game. But who's to say he didn't learn from that? And given the improvement in his passing game last time he was healthy, he was better passer than he'd ever been. Now he's with Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, who always seems to do it with spit and bubble gum every year. Well, they're not the same this year. They don't have the offense, or they don't have the defense, or something happened, and yet they're there. Well, that's because of Tom Brady. No, I mean, Brady's a big part of it, of course, was. It's because of Bill Belichick. Cam Newton's 31 years old, guys. He has a chance to be great for a while still. Like, Andrew Luck is retired, gone from the game already. Cam Newton, who got to a Super Bowl, who won an MVP, is still going, and there's every reason to believe he'll be the best version of himself going forward. So can Bill Belichick work
but
with
Matt,
that?
You argue,
can Josh McDaniels work
different.
With that? Yes.
But you're arguing something different. You're not arguing. We're not arguing whether or not Cam Newton can be good here, or if we could see one of the better versions of Cam Newton. I agree with that. But this team isn't good enough to win, even with Cam Newton playing that way. When you watch Cam Newton in the New England Patriots yesterday, you didn't see the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson. You didn't see that type of explosion, not only in the run game, but in the pass game. Cam Newton's a different type of runner. He's a punishing runner. He's a runner that's going to grind it out and get tough yards. This team needs to find explosive plays, and Cam Newton is not necessarily going to produce that. And that's why they won't win a championship. Bill Belichick can put it together with bubblegum. But right now, he working with the bubblegum that as soon as you start chewing, it get hard. Because that's not going to work. You're not going to be able to hold this together and beat good football teams, the Kansas Cities, the Baltimores, even the Buffalo Bills, with the way this team plays offense.
They just now, this Patriots team lost to a Dolphins team that they needed to beat to get a bye in the first round. Play more or less the same Dolphins team. One, you know, like first game of the season. I know they're, but still, that Dolphins team largely comprised of the same players. And they beat them first game of the season behind Cam because Cam doesn't need as many weapons as Brady offensively. And that team won, what, 13 games last year? You tell me that they can't be in the thick of things this year? Oh, I think they can be.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod, and have a fabulous day. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys or tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Meanwhile, in non-NFL news, the Nuggets forced a Game 7 after beating the Clippers again yesterday, holding off a bubble exit, winning 111-98. The Clippers blew a 19-point lead with a chance to clinch the series and move on to face their Staples rival. Stephen A., what the heck happened to these Clippers?
Some young thoroughbreds have come after them with no fear whatsoever and said, hey, we ain't going home so easy, and we think we figured things out. The Joker, Jokic, was sensational. They have no answer for him right now. Montrezl Harrell nor others can seem to guard him. His unorthodox offensive play is just a brilliant offensive play, and he finds a way to put the ball in the hole. Jamal Murray had 21 points. He's finding his rhythm just a little bit extra, getting a bit more aggressive. Can't say enough about Michael Porter Jr., even though he only scored 13 points. I think this brother's a future star in the league, assuming he can get healthy. And Gary Harris has found his stroke. He finished with 16 points as well. They're young, they're athletic, they're vibrant, they're fearless, they're not scared of the moment. They're coming after it, and now they're playing with house money. That's on Denver's side. They're playing with house money because nobody expected them to be in this position. Nobody anticipated it would go seven games or they would take the Clippers out. They are playing with house money. In the case of the Los Angeles Clippers, Max Kellerman, it was one of these rare occasions where I think you can look at a loss and say Kawhi Leonard had everything to do with that loss. Turnovers, missed shots he would normally make, turnovers he wouldn't make normally he was making, ill-advised shots, passing up other shots instead of taking over. Him and Paul George have got to step it up. Paul George shot 9 of 21 from the field. He's got to get more accurate and more aggressive in this game 7. But Kawhi Leonard has to be that dude. This is what you came to LA for, my man. Handle your business. And also, you know how much I feel for Doc Rivers. I think he's a phenomenal coach and a phenomenal leader. And I love him dearly. But if he loses this game, that would be 13-23, I think, in like closeout games or whatever. That's not a good thing to have on your resume, and I don't know how Steve Ballmer is going to look at him if they lose this series, along with that coaching staff. So it's a lot at stake. We'll see what happens. I still think the Clippers are going to win Game 7, though.
When I was doing radio in L.A., Stephen A., as a Lakers fan, I used to tease the Clippers all the time, saying they're looking to hang a second-round championship banner because they've never in their history ever even been to a conference finals, right? So, like, it's a snake bit organization. But I picked them since the preseason, and I'm staying with them. I think they're going to win the championship. I think they're going to do it this year, and I think it's because they have Kawhi Leonard. Yes, they have a good team. Everyone has a good team at this level. They have Kawhi Leonard, and no one else does. But that's where I agree with you, actually. Montrez was bad yesterday, right? And Jokic was excellent. And they found a third guy who can really score in Michael Porter Jr. and do other things too. And Jamal Murray has never say die. And this Jazz team has done, sorry, this Nuggets team has done it against the Jazz. And they've come all the way back and they're the cardiac kids and all this kind of stuff, right? I get it. But what it comes down to is Kawhi's got to be the best player on the floor. I'm not talking about him having a bad game. I'm saying he can't let Jokic, the other team star, and they got a couple of them on that team, but he can't let anyone be the best player that night when it matters most. He hasn't throughout his career, Kawhi. It's what I love about him. But Jokic was the best player in the game yesterday, and that has to be Kawhi Leonard. Stephen A., they're lucky they're still playing because, as I said, the first loss in this series for the Nuggets was a schedule loss, right? They came off a grueling seven-game series. The Clippers were rested and waiting for them. So I knew Clippers were going to win game one. I thought it would be a good series, maybe not like this. But let's say Porzingis had never gotten hurt in the previous series or never gotten that bogus ejection in the previous series. And even if the Clippers win, they go a grueling seven games. My man, this series might be over already. So I still like the Clippers to win the championship. I still say it's because they have Kawhi Leonard. He was not the best player on the floor last night. They might be lucky to still be playing right now. And LeBron James, who I said Kawhi had taken the crown from, or at least it's vacant, and they're going to find out right now who the champ is when they meet. LeBron took care of business, Kawhi. He's waiting for you. You have to meet that challenge now and go be the best player on the floor in Game 7 to advance. And by the way, that's not easy because Jamal Murray and Jokic are ballers.
Max, but let me say something to you about Kawhi Leonard because you left something very important out. This is the first time in Kawhi Leonard's career he's been called for this moment. Yes, he's played in NBA Finals, but we know that KD wasn't there last year, that Klay Thompson was a big compromise, et cetera, et cetera. We know he wasn't the number one, number two, even the number three option when he was playing with the San Antonio Spurs. This is the first time in Kawhi Leonard's career that he's had this moment where all eyes are appropriately on him. Like, what you gonna do, bro? The Denver Nuggets have arrived. They have pushed this to a game 7. Stand up. And in the case of Doc Rivers, you're a champion, but this is your 7th season in Los Angeles, and you haven't been to a conference finals. They've got to win tonight. They've got to win tomorrow night. I'm sorry. They just have to win, period.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C.
D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Jay and Hannah, two of my faves. Big D took a big L to start off the season last night on the big stage. The Cowboys are also now 1-7 in one score game since the start of 2019. Stephen A. Smith, I know how much you love Cowboys fans, so I know how much this hurt you. Who's most to blame for their loss?
For the Cowboys, you lost yesterday? Huh? I mean,
I
have to admit, as I sit here and you ask that question, I mean, I just don't know who to come up with. Could it be Dak Prescott? I mean, yeah. I mean, could it be Michael Gallup with the offensive passing fish? Yeah, yeah. Could it be Amari Cooper, who, I thought had a good game, but in the same breath could have made his presence a bit more felt? Sure. Could it have been Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator that returned from last year when he shouldn't have returned because Mike McCarthy should have started anew? Yeah. Could it be Mike McCarthy himself with this relatively conservative pedestrian performance? I mean, yeah. Could it be Jerry Jones who put all of the pieces together? All right. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of names I could come up with that I could point to as a finger of blame. But you know who I want to blame most? The Cowboy fans across the nation. Just because I can. Them nauseating, disgusting people, the worst fan base in the history of this great nation of ours, who continuously bloviate about how their team is going to win the Super Bowl, placing unfair and unwarranted expectations on those small shoulders of them. That might be a reason, too. So the answer is, I don't know. How about all of them?
I thought you were going to go with that black cat running around that franchise. The answer is the Rams defense.
I forgot, man.
Next.
My bad. Him too. The cat too.
Right. Rams defense, Molly. That's it. That's all I have to say. If you want to play yeah. Give the Rams credit. They won
Jalen
the game.
Ramsey?
No. Dan Orlovsky drew up. Check out Dan Orlovsky's Twitter. He broke down some defensive plays where the Rams' communication, like better defense, beat not as good offense at times in this game, and that was the difference.
All right. I'm going to keep going, guys, because there's a couple other things I want to touch on here. Let's start with Brady, his season not starting out as we expected. Well, maybe as Max expected, it didn't start out. Father Time, is it getting him? His first multi-interception game in an opener since 2003. Max, what do you think? I mean, it's a new offense here. This Brady loss, is it a big deal or no big deal?
Of course it's a big deal. I mean, like, look, Father Time has been working the body now for a couple of years on Brady. The reason he looks so tired at this point is because he's been taking a beating to the body by Father Time. Then you bring the attack upstairs, as Stephen A. knows, being a great boxing fan. That's what happens. Father Time is undefeated. I've been trying to tell you. Brady's last great version of himself was the Super Bowl loss, in fact, to the Eagles, where they didn't punt. And he threw a billion yards, 500 yards in a Super Bowl. Amazing. But since then, he was a game manager. Nothing wrong with that. It's just not the greatest player of all time. Game manager behind a defense in a running game, won the lowest scoring Super Bowl in the highest scoring era of all time. And then last year, couldn't get it done when they needed it the most against Miami, last game of the season. And they didn't get the bye. And then they lose to Tennessee. So can Brady make the plays to win the game? Even on a loaded team, eventually they're going to win some games this year. But Stephen A., right now, with all the weapons in the world and all the hoopla and all the expectations, he's a game manager learning a new system, and I don't think there's going to be enough time in his career or in this season for him to get where he wants to go. He's old. He's 43.
The answer to the question is going to be no big deal at all. You were going up against a superior team. They were accustomed to playing together. The only new addition was really Emmanuel Sanders. Everybody else has been there, from Taysom Hill to Alvin Kamara to Michael Thomas. They've all been there. Sean Payton still calling plays. He still has Drew Brees as his quarterback. You know, you might have added Janoris Jenkins and Malcolm Jenkins to the defense, but in the end, what it comes down to is that you're relatively the same with a slight upgrade on the defensive side of the ball. And so we all knew coming into this game, particularly with Tom Brady being new to the team, them having a new quarterback, that they were going to be at a disadvantage. And that's what ultimately reared its head when all was said and done. It's no big deal because the Bucs ain't going to be going against the teams, the quality of the New Orleans Saints every single weekend. I think they will be better. Their competition will be worse and they will be fine.
By the way, I got to say about Bruce Arians, I think that's the right decision to make, holding everyone accountable. He's not going to take care of Brady. He knows, of course, he wants Brady to succeed, but he needs his team to play. And if you ask him who the interceptions are on, he's going to tell the truth. Both of them on Tom Brady. Bad decision making. I'm just telling everyone right now, Brady's the GOAT. I get it. The question as to whether it's Brady or Belichick, we're getting some answers right now. Early on, very early on, it's Belichick 1, Brady none.
I am not, I want to say this real quickly about Bruce Arians. I'm not questioning his football knowledge. I'm certainly not questioning whether or not he's deserving of being a head coach in the National Football League. I know that he took the Arizona Cardinals to an NFC Championship game. I know what job he did when Pagano got ill with cancer and he took over the Indianapolis Colts before the Arizona job. Bruce Arians is to be respected. Plus, he was an offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh. He is to be respected. However, over the last 3 years he's coached, 7-8-1, 8-8, 7-9. Can we stop acting like this dude is just a slight tad bit under Bill Belichick? I'm sorry. You got to produce too. It could be him to some degree. It ain't just the players in their turnovers. Maybe you're asking a quarterback to do things you shouldn't be asking them to do. How about that?
Brady left the cupboard bare for Belichick. Sent Garoppolo away, went an end around him to the owner, got Garoppolo sent out of town, no backup quarterback. Half the defense isn't playing this year because of various things, including opting out of the season. And the Bucs have an embarrassment of riches. I'm not trying to hear excuses. Belichick 1, Brady 0 so far. It's very early.
Enough about Tom Brady, enough about Cam Newton, enough about all these people. Can we please talk about the future? Danny Dimes, the New York Football Giants, Saquon Barkley in action against Stephen A.'s old Steelers. Stephen A., what do you have to say for yourself? What do you think is going to happen tonight on ESPN airwaves?
The Steelers will win tonight. Nobody cares about the Broncos. The Titans will beat them. But the Steelers will win tonight. And my condolences to you early on, Molly, because clearly you're going to have a wardrobe malfunction, unless you're having one right now, because it's the only time we'll see your Giants sweatshirt. You won't be wearing it after tonight.
Oh, really? I'm loyal. I'll be wearing
ready
it no
for
matter
this,
what.
Molly? Ready for this, Molly? Hope
go
springs
ahead.
Eternal.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Big blue tonight in the upset. They're going to ride Saquon Barkley. He's going to go off, and the Giants are going to upset the Pittsburgh Steelers week one behind a generational talent at running back.
Yeah.
That's right. Go ahead,
Stephen A., who's going to put in work for your Steelers? Stephen A., who's even on your offense anymore? Who do you
guys have? Their defense. Their defense.
I forget. Oh, defense.
It doesn't matter.
But how are you putting up points?
Saquon Barkley will be shut down.
Goodbye.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.